working in a bridal shop in Flushing, Queens, till her boyfriend kicked her out in one of those crushing scenes. What was she to do? Where was she to go? She was out on her fanny. So over the bridge from Flushing to the Sheffield's door, she was there to sell makeup, but the father saw more. She had style, she had flair, she was there. That's how she became the nanny. Exactly what the doctor prescribed. Now the father finds her beguiling.
Watch out, Cece.
And the kids are actually smiling.
Sensuality.
She's the lady in red when everybody else is wearing tan. The flashy girl from Flushing.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast. I am your host, Scott White, and I am joined once again by my good friend, Steph DeWagoner. Say hello, Steph.
Hey, everybody.
All right. So we are doing an episode of The Nanny from season one. I believe it's episode 18 called Sunday in the Park with Fran.
Yes.
Which is a takeoff of Sunday in the Park with George.
Yeah. How do you know that? I'm impressed you know that.
I just know the name. Is that a play?
It's a musical.
It's a musical? Then, yeah, I don't know anything about
it. With Mandy Patinkin originally. Yes.
So I'm going to say this is the first episode of The Nanny I've ever seen.
What?
And it is god-awful. It is terrible. It is schlock sitcom 101.
It is pretty typical 90s.
And I thought this was 80s. I thought this is so schlocky and so over the top and so bad. I thought, oh, this is the 94. Yes, the dogs disagree on how bad this is. This was terrible.
It's 90. Yep, this is 93, 94. You've never seen.
I've never seen an episode of the. I know who Fran Drescher is. I've seen clips of it. This is my first full episode of The Nanny, and it is.
I will
terrible.
Say this: it's not the greatest episode of The Nanny, but it's not like they all of a sudden get dramatic. This is pretty much The Nanny.
Yeah.
It is over the top, but Fran Drescher's over the top. So the show's got to be kind of over the top, you know?
Well, she created it, too. What did she do before this?
Well, what did she do before this?
I know she was in UHF with Weird Al.
She was in Dr. Detroit.
She was in Dr. Detroit with Dan Aykroyd.
And she had a small part in the mockumentary
Spinal Tap.
She was in This is Spinal Tap. So she must have been, I don't really know a lot about this. I probably should have studied this before. She must have been doing some kind of sketch or comedy or
I'm sure she did.
Improv or something, but
okay, since you've seen, what is, from what I gathered, what's the premise? She's a
Well, much like Gilligan's Island, they explain it all to you in the opening theme song.
That's what I was going to say. This is old school opening where you get the...
If you've never watched an episode, here's what happens.
Yeah, she's a nanny for rich people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, she basically worked in a bridal shop in Queens. Her boyfriend dumps her that owns the bridal shop. So now she's out on her, as they say, on her fanny. So the premise is she shows up at the Sheffield's house selling... like Mary Kay, like cosmetics, but the and just so happens that Mr. Sheffield, a Broadway producer, a widowed Broadway producer, desperately needs a nanny, and he hires her. So that's how she comes to live there, and it's sort of a fish out of water story. You know, here she is from Flushing, Queens, in this nice, you know, Manhattan brownstone, you know, there's a butler. It's probably more than a brownstone. It's kind of a Park Avenue mansion sort of thing. But, there's a butler, kind of a snooty butler. There's a competitive Mr. Sheffield's assistant, Cece, who's his executive assistant or, like, associate producer, I guess, or whatever. She's, very competitive with Fran. She's frigid and snooty and rigid, you know, so complete opposites. And, of course, so this ray of sunshine, Fran Drescher, comes into the kids' lives and shakes up their rigid British upbringing. And the kids aren't British, but the father's British. But, so that's basically the premise of all these wacky hijinks that, you know, Fran brings into their life and shakes up their life. It's like every other
sitcom
story like
ever.
This,
yes.
Where we hire the wacky fish out of water person to be our nanny, our babysitter, our gardener, our cook.
And this was like 7-8 years this was on? I got, man. Anyway.
People love Fran Drescher.
They do. I'm sure they do.
This was a big deal. So there's something funny that goes on in this episode. A couple of things. So Charles Shaughnessy, that plays Mr. Sheffield, previously was part of a super couple on Days of Our Lives. So he played Shane Donovan, who was a secret agent, and he was part of this big, high-profile Kimberly and Shane on Days of Our Lives. So when he all of a sudden shows up as the male lead in this show, it was kind of a big deal that this big soap star is going to be in this sitcom. So that drew a lot of viewers initially.
Well, speaking of Days of Our Lives, that makes the guy who does the guest appearance.
That's what I was going to say. Yes.
So we will get to that. So they're opening a Broadway play.
Yes, yes. Mr. Sheffield's opening another Broadway play. They've hoping for good reviews.
Yes,
right?
And they're trying to bribe the critics with gift bags.
Well, tomorrow's opening night, and we are completely sold out.
Thank God Miss Fine has a large family. Now all we need is some good reviews, and I think we might just have another hit on our hands.
Well, I have sent gift baskets to every critic in town.
Are you telling me you're bribing the critics? Trying to buy us a good review? Good thinking.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield, my entire family is so excited about being invited to opening night. They want 12 chicken dinners, 2 prime ribs, and 2 kosher meals, if it's not too much trouble.
Nanny Fine, this is not dinner theater.
No food? Aye, big mistake. If you feed them, they will come.
Well, if your relatives won't come without a feed bag, I'll be happy to give them their money back and sell their tickets on the street.
I'll drop you off at your usual corner.
Miss Fine, I can assure you, your relatives are going to love the play. It's a brilliant postmodern exploration of despair.
No food and despair? Jeez, it sounds like my Weight Watchers meeting.
To me, the best part of the episode, or the best part of the cast, is the butler. The butler is always making fun of his assistant.
Cece.
And so it's sort of like Fran and the butler versus Cece.
Yeah, for whatever reason, the butler gets Fran. He likes her. He sees that she has the best of intentions with the kids. She likes him because he always treats her nice.
Yes.
So.
Well, maybe.
I will say there's some good writing in here. I'll explain what in a second.
Well, it turns out they want good reviews. They're sending gift baskets. The head critic sends back the gift basket.
The guy who does the local TV news, the 10 o'clock news live TV critic. He sends his gift basket back. Now, it just so happens, Fran's standing in the kitchen. We've established what's happening with the show.
Yeah.
Fran's in the kitchen now with the youngest daughter and the butler, and he's making them a picnic because they're going to go to the park. And she's like, oh, you're making me a picnic. That's nice. And she's like, the girl's like, the refrigerator's broken. If we don't eat it, the food's going to all go bad. But he's making this picnic, and it comes up Cece. So Cece comes into the kitchen, and they're still talking about, she says to the butler, oh, you were supposed to deliver that basket. He's like, I did, but he returned it, and said he can't be bribed with his, with this little cheap gift basket. Which, during this scene, so this is what made me laugh. Cece comes in with a dog. She comes in with a Pomeranian. And I'm like, oh, it's Pomeranian. And for you listeners out there who may or may not remember, I've got 2 Pomeranians. So I was like, oh, and then I remembered that is Fran Drescher's Pomeranian, Chester. Because Fran Drescher loves Pomeranians, and she had Chester for 19 years. And so this is her real dog. And it's a really cute moment because Cece brings the dog in, and Fran starts to go up to him, and she's like, he doesn't like other people. Well, naturally, when Fran takes the dog, it's her dog, and the dog's all excited and is kissing her and licking her. And so it irritates Cece that her dog, likes Fran and growls at her. And then they just put the dog outside. But it's important because we need the dog later in the show. So, but I did think that was cute that was Chester. Because later on in Fran Drescher's sitcom that she had on TV Land, that she did right around the time that they were doing all those middle-aged sitcoms like Hot in Cleveland and stuff like that. She brought her current Pomeranian into that show as well, and that was for her show Happily Divorced. That was supposed to be kind of based on her true story of her first husband. So anyway, I just thought it was really cute that was her Pomeranian in the show. Yeah, so that's when they're standing in the kitchen, she mentions about the gift basket. Cece mentions about the gift basket, and then what is it? Frank something. And the little girl who's sitting at the table coloring says, I know somebody with that name.
She goes, oh, Frank Smith Jr. is in my class.
Right, right. So then they realize that's got to be the son of this critic. Cece's devious mind thinks that they should set up a play date.
Yes. We should and set up a play date. The little girl's like, I don't like him. And
yeah, that he's mean, he's a bully, he makes fun of her. And Cece doesn't want to hear any of that. She thinks that Fran and the little girl should just, Maggie. No, not Maggie. Maggie's the older. Grace. Grace is the little girl. That they should go along with it. And Frank Bradley. That's who the critic is. That they should go ahead and go on this play date. So Cece calls Frank Bradley. And under the guise of her being Grace's mother. And just from the PTO phone list to kind of set up contact.
PTA.
The PTA. Because she calls it the PTA.
Yes.
Would the phone number be on the PTA? And Fran's like, that's the PTA.
There's just terrible sitcom jokes through this entire episode. Just terrible sitcom.
It is so 90s.
It is not. Well, yeah. It is sitcom-y. This is the definition of sitcom.
But the fact that the refrigerator is broken and the fact that we've brought the dog in is really good, because we need those things later.
Well, they both confront Mr. Shaughnessy. What is it?
Mr. Sheffield. Mr. Sheffield, yes.
And he's like, well, you know, he's trying to make it sound that it'd be good for the children if they had a play date.
They both go racing into his office to try, because Fran's like, you wouldn't make Grace play with some kid that she doesn't want to play with, right? And he goes, no, of course not. And then Cece's like, what if it was the son of, you know, Frank Bradley. Well, actually, maybe it's good for her to learn to play with people she doesn't like, you know. So, Fran still doesn't want to do it.
No, but he makes her. And then we cut to the park. And this is in front of a live studio audience.
Yes.
And we cut to the park, because this is an incredibly cheap-looking park
set. All we ever see is the bench.
Yeah.
You see the bench and some wood. You don't ever...
And the little boy... is the little boy from Kindergarten Cop who says vagina.
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Yes, that kid.
So that little kid who was 4 during Kindergarten Cop is now like, I don't know, 8 or 9 in this.
And on top of everything else, I hate child actors. I hate snotty child actors.
Well, this kid's supposed to play it.
I know he's supposed to play it and he plays it well. I just hate snotty child actors. And he's just as pompous as his dad. So Fran sits down on a bench next to this woman.
Yeah, the little kid's a pill. The kid's like, give me some food for the squirrels. This is stupid. He speaks like an adult. He speaks like a theater critic.
Fran is talking to this woman.
A pregnant woman, I think.
A pregnant woman next to her.
That's watching her child.
The pregnant woman thinks that Fran has had these kids with 2 different people and doesn't know.
Scene. So we have this kind of weird Three's Company misunderstanding, just random scene with this woman.
Yes. So this is where you say some writing is good. This is where the writing is bad. It's like nobody talks like this. Nobody would explain the situation the way she did to make it sound like.
Because the presumption is that the pregnant mom thinks that that Grace and Frank Bradley Jr. are Fran's kids, not understanding that she's the nanny, which any woman in New York would 50% presume that this is the nanny brand.
And then when she starts calling him Mr. This and Mr. That, she still, you mean you call him Mr.? So she still doesn't put it together.
That's a kind of a dumb scene.
Yes, it is a dumb scene. I mean, in real life, that would have been taken care of immediately.
Of like, oh, no, I'm the nanny. Yeah. These aren't my kids. Wah.
I'm bored. Give me some food to feed the squirrels.
You don't need food. Just lie down and make believe you're dead.
Why, does that cat have a mouth on him or what?
Does he take after his father?
Who knows? I met his father for 5 minutes and that was enough.
Apparently.
I didn't want him. Next thing I knew, he was on his way, and now I'm stuck with him. I'm just furious with Mr. Sheffield.
The little boy's father?
No, the little girl's father. The little boy's is Mr. Bradley.
You call them both Mr.?
Well, I don't really know either of them that well.
What?
Oh, you think that me and them are there? Oh, I'm the nanny.
Well, eventually the little boy gets, you know, starts getting on top of the little girl and starts pulling her hair.
Yeah,
and
you see them run across. He's a brat.
He's a brat.
He's not listening to Fran.
And Fran hits him with a baguette.
Right, from the picnic basket.
From the picnic basket. And he's like, I'm going to tell my dad. I'm so scared. And isn't your boss trying to put a Broadway play on? And he does the thumbs down. So, yeah, he's just a precocious little...
I was thinking, though, that kid, even when he was little, though, was really good with dialogue. And I'm thinking this kid's like 7 or 8 here. And he has a lot of heavy dialogue for a kid in this show. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I was thinking that's probably why he got the job, because he could handle the dialogue.
It's weird. I don't have a problem with the actor. Just kids like that in general just bother me in movies and stuff.
I was actually thinking, you know, I like Everybody Loves Raymond. And one of the things I like about Everybody Loves Raymond is the kids are never like every once in a while there's a plot around, you know, Allie's got to sell Girl Scout cookies or whatever. But it's never, you never get a smart alecky kid.
Nope.
The kids never take over the show. Nope. We never jump the shark and have a baby. We don't. Yeah, that's one of the things I actually like about that show.
Well, we go back to the house. They come in, and then he gets a call from
Frank Bradley.
Frank Bradley. And then we get a typical sitcom-y scene. Oh, I'm sorry. This and Fran's trying to explain, and it's, oh, I didn't. You know, the kid was a brat, and it wasn't my fault. Well, you're going to apologize, because we were trying to get this play off the scene. You know, yeah. It's once again, it's just typical sitcom stuff. This is just all sitcom gags from start to finish.
Yep.
Maybe, I don't know. It just wasn't my cup of tea. Basically, what he's saying is, I'm inviting him over with his son. You're going to apologize. Period. End of sentence.
Yes. Mr. Sheffield in his stern.
And so during this, the butler is making snacks. And once again, we talk about how the refrigerator is broken.
Yeah, don't open the refrigerator. The refrigerator, we can only open the refrigerator for...
Steph and I did an episode of The Golden Girls on my Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast.
Right.
Dan Aykroyd is involved in this episode as much as Burt Reynolds was involved in that episode. So Dan Aykroyd is coming. Don't worry.
Hang in there in case you forgot.
Because I just did an episode of Home Improvement with our buddy Sean.
Uh-huh.
And Dan Aykroyd was in that episode quite a bit. Not in this episode. When the refrigerator is broken, I'm like, he's going to come in as his character from Saturday Night Live. So I totally knew that. He plays a character in Saturday Night Live, butt crack and all that, but we'll get to it. But so once I found out, oh, the refrigerator's broken, we're waiting on the repairman, Dan Aykroyd is obviously the repairman, and I know exactly what character he's going to play. So on top of everything else, I knew exactly what was coming. Now, maybe if I was watching this for the first time and didn't know that Dan Aykroyd was in this,
if you hadn't told me we're watching this for the Dan Aykroyd podcast, I wouldn't, you know, it would have been a surprise.
Would have been a surprise. But knowing this, like, on top of all the lame jokes, it's okay, and I'm going to know the surprise ending as well. But the critic comes over with his son, and the critic is played by Eric
Braden,
who is...
Victor Newman on Young and the Restless for
and he's been a million trillion years.
Yes.
I've never seen an episode of that, but I know him.
Yes.
I know him from that soap. Because whenever I'm in line at Kroger, there's always Soap Digest, and his picture is always on it.
Well, remember in Mr. Mom, he watches Young and the Restless. Yes. And he talks about Victor and Nikki.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Victor and Nikki have been around for...
They're still on the show, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they're still... So he's been around forever. So here's another thing. So he comes in as a snooty theater critic. He played the exact same role on Mary Tyler Moore! He played the exact, not the same character, but the exact same snooty role on Mary Tyler Moore.
They hire
which is a much better sitcom, people. Which is a much better sitcom.
They hire a restaurant and art, like a culture critic.
A culture critic.
At WJM, and he hates everything, and he's a snoot, and he takes Mary out to dinner, and is dismissive to her. And I thought, I can't see you and I swear.
And he, and on Mary Tyler Moore, he makes fun of the station.
Yes.
Which eventually gets him fired.
Right. Right. So, yes, it's basically, again, I'm thinking, you're thinking, who could we get? Oh, you know what would be fun? Let's get another soap act. So, because that happens frequently in The Nanny, just so you know. Soap stars show up all the time in the show. There's another episode where Mr. Sheffield wants to hire a famous actor for one of his shows. And the famous actor is Stephen Nichols from Days of Our Lives, who played Patch. And he'll only do the show if Fran will go on a date with him. But I love that you recognize that same character from Mary Tyler Moore. That cracks me up.
So he comes over with his son.
And they're snooty.
And they're snooty and they're shitty. Fran half-ass apologizes. And he's like, well, I'm not going to accept it. And then she's like, I've got to walk the dog. And then she calls the dog in. The dog comes in.
Well, because the butler has brought out some finger food.
Finger sandwiches.
That he's personally prepared.
Yes. The kid takes it and he's going to eat it. And he's like, it's made with real children. And he puts it back.
Real children's fingers.
Real children's fingers. And then finally, Mr. Sheffield gets tired and he tells him off. He's like, I'm tired of kissing your ass. You know, I'm going to take my chances. So why don't you and your son leave? Oh, before that, the dog comes out and bites Frank Bradley. And he's like, I want that dog put down. And Cece's like, yep, we'll put him down.
Right.
So.
Right. Because Frank's like, what? You know, because the basically the dog is, say, like, backing up Fran, like the guy's getting in her face,
yeah,
and he bites him.
It's and that's a very awkward. He grabs. It's like it's very.
They really can't have.
I know they really can't, but it's just a really awkward looking scene where he quote unquote bites him. He doesn't bite him. He doesn't come close. They do the best they can in front of a live audience,
just out of the with a live dog. Camera. Yeah,
but they leave, and then the theater critic, he makes a point of bending down, picking up a finger sandwich and eating it. And I'm like, well, that's coming into play because it was so freaking obvious. They just linger on him eating this. And then we cut to a bar, and
it's after the show.
It's after the show.
They're waiting for the reviews, which you see in every show about New York where there's a Broadway show and it's opening night. They're all waiting for the reviews. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for the late edition paper. They're waiting for the local news.
And Fran does two, I wouldn't say questionable jokes, but two Asian jokes. She goes, one joke, she says, my grandmother had more chins than a Chinese phone book.
Right.
And then on this, and then she goes, I like the play, but the theater, what, 500 people, two ladies' stalls? It's like Tokyo in there. Well, it turns out the critic got food poisoning, and so he wasn't able to review, so they go to the person on the street.
We're going to go to the people on the street.
And it's Fran, and she gives it a big thumbs up. Basically, the butler, he's blaming it on the fridge, but he gave...
The butler kind of wink-wink realizes he gave them... because remember Cece said, my stomach's been turning all night. Yeah. Well, Cece ate the finger sandwiches too.
Yeah.
But she thought it was just nerves about the show. But the butler kind of knowingly gave them the bad...
And that's probably why he scared the kid away from eating it.
Right. And that happens a lot in the show where the butler has the family's back.
Yeah.
And does some kind of like subversive thing... That you don't realize till the end where he's like, well, wink, wink, you know, it was him that did it.
Well, so Mr. Sheffield grabs Fran and kisses her. And this is something that was in sitcoms a lot where women were touched and grabbed and kissed. Now, she didn't mind it, but a lot.
Well, there's already sexual tension between the two of them at this point in the show. Yeah.
Yes, but in a lot of these sitcoms, women are just touched without their consent all the time.
All the time.
All the time. And once again, that would not fly today.
But this isn't any different than in like Who's the Boss with
back to the 60s. Oh, you're so pretty, and they would just kiss a woman on the cheek without her consent.
Right.
And then we go to...
So, yeah, they kiss each other. There's a little moment. Because remember, this is still just the first season of Nanny.
There's 15 more.
They actually get married down the line.
Yeah, and, I remember that.
But this is kind of the beginning of the little sparks between them. And they're all...
Now we cut back.
So the show's not over yet.
The show's not over yet. And we cut back and
to the kitchen,
and then it's like the last of our food is gone, and then we hear the doorbell, and
he's like, "It better be that repairman."
Yes, and Fran's like, "Who are you gonna call?" And Dan Aykroyd comes in, "Frostbusters, I'm here to look at your fridge."
Well, that makes it official. Our final perishable has perished. And there's the repairman in the nick of time.
Well, listen, the man is highly in demand. This is a very sensitive piece of equipment. Who are you going to call?
Frostbusters! Yeah, I'm just coming up to get old Frigidaire. Well, actually, it's a Sub-Zero. Not anymore. Could be a condenser problem. I think you got a crack.
We got a crack.
No, I think this repairman must all shop at the same store.
Yeah, the Gap.
And he gets a big applause.
They just let him do his
thing. Let him do his Dan Aykroyd thing for 30 to 45 seconds. He bends up. It's like this is the exact character he played on Saturday Night Live.
So he's the repair guy. He bends over to check the fridge. We see his butt crack.
Fran and the Cutler make a couple jokes. Boom. We cut the credits. And then we have a credit scene. While the credits are playing, once again, this was in front of a live studio audience. And she brings out Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, Fran Drescher comes out. I don't think the show always ended like this. I haven't watched a lot of episodes of The Nanny, and I can't actually recall if I watched a lot of the closing credits. But so she's out there in front of the live audience with the rest of the cast saying, how about a big hand for my friend who I'd do anything for? Mm. I do, Dan Aykroyd. And he comes out and gets big applause and they all start dancing, and so it's this happy.
Yes, ending. So this is an episode of the Dan Aykroyd podcast where he was in 45 seconds of the sitcom. I did not know that when I picked this, and I'm like, holy crap! I thought it would be more, but he's not.
Well, it's no worse than she's having a baby, and he's in the closing credits. At least this he's actually in the content.
Yeah, that's true. It was like there were fridges broke. When he's going to... Oh, man, he's not going to get there to the last 45 seconds of this.
I did like how the plot points are all lined up. Like, we saw the dog earlier. We know the dog loves Fran. The dog defends Fran and bites the theater critic. We set up the refrigerator being broken early in the show. We come back and touch on it again. And so it makes those... So none of the stuff that's resolved at the end just totally comes out of the
No, plot. It doesn't come out of nowhere. But it's just... it was just terrible.
Well, it is funny when you watch a show like that compared to, like, we can't really compare, like, a single cam like The Office or Parks and Rec. I'm trying to think of a current...
There aren't many...
sitcoms like that.
Three-camera sitcoms anymore.
But if you look at, like, even in the 90s, you had, that was Home Improvement, Family Matters, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But Seinfeld is different. Mm-hmm. Seinfeld, you can't count, like, Seinfeld, The Wonder Years. Those are different. Boy Meets World. Did you ever watch Boy Meets World?
Oh, well, yeah. It was TGIF, Family Matter, Full House, all that.
But even like those family, like Full House. Yeah, I guess Full House is like that too. But even the reboot of Full House, though, is kind of like the old Full House. It's got that same...
Yeah, this, I mean, I actually thought this was the 80s. It was so cheesy and so corny and so sitcom-y. And like half the jokes don't land. It's just the amount of jokes.
So it's
just like, it's like a boxer just jabbing. Jab, joke, joke, joke.
I was thinking, this must have been a delight to Charles Shaughnessy, though, because having done so much heavy stories. By the way, he is currently on General Hospital. I still watch General Hospital. I've watched General Hospital for 40 years. He is now on General Hospital playing Victor Cassadine, the evil Victor Cassadine. He looks great. And he's still got his chops. And so it was a real delight when he joined the cast at General Hospital. So, actually, I personally thought Fran's TV Land sitcom... was really cute about she and her gay ex-husband, which again loosely based on her actual real life. It was, I think it was post cancer. I think she did it after she had cancer. So And hey, she's a fellow Pomeranian lover. I can't deny her that.
All right. Well, as you can tell from me, I just thought this was just awful. I thought it was, I mean, it was just total sitcom crap. Yeah. But that's the stuff that I watched back then. And I mean, I'm not, everything was like that. That's just how sitcom was.
I wouldn't go out of my way to watch The Nanny.
No. And after seeing this, I probably wouldn't watch another episode.
But I've definitely watched it before when there's been, like, nothing else on, and it's, like, The Nanny, or I've caught
well,
the
when,
end
when
the
I
nanny.
Came over here, like, the Andy Griffith Show was on, and just the scene between Don Knotts and Gomer Pyle, it was like, that was just those two characters. It wasn't sitcom-y, it was just character-driven, you know, no corny joke. I mean, there were corny jokes, but it was based on the, it was just... It was just night and day compared to this, and like you said, I this is the only episode. I'm just basing the entire series on this episode.
Have you ever seen a Disney sitcom? Those are
no. Yes, I have. I have friends who have. Those are insulting. They are insulting to children and adults. They are just yeah.
Talk about over the top.
And yeah, over broad. The top, over the top, broad, stupid, and this came close, but yeah. So this was. We did this episode for 45 minutes of Dan Aykroyd. Or 45 seconds of Dan Aykroyd.
If you've got HBO Max and you love Dan Aykroyd...
It's on Tubi.
You can watch it on Tubi. You can watch it on HBO Max. Yeah. Fast forward to the end and you can see Dan Aykroyd.
No, I'm sure the Dan Aykroyd clip is on YouTube. But no, I am not lying. It's 30 to 45 seconds. That is it.
I wonder if when they brought the script out, if they were like... They had to have had it cast before the table read on Monday, so I wonder if when they pitched it, whose idea it was to, you know, if they were like, hey, we should get Dan Aykroyd to do this, because...
I know him. I was in a movie with him.
Right, or if the...
If he was in town, he was on the lot, he was just...
Well, I don't think... I have a feeling that scene was not a part of the original script, and at the table read, Fran was like, I got a crazy idea. Mm-hmm. Let's get Dan Aykroyd to come in to do, you know, this little part at the end. Because... You didn't need to have that scene.
No, or any actor could have done that.
They could have had any just scene between her and the butler.
Any guy coming in showing his ass would have worked. All right, well, that's it. This has been kind of an episode of the Dan Aykroyd podcast. I am not a fan of this episode, and I probably won't watch another episode of The Nanny. Steph has seen more episodes.
I have seen more episodes. I've even seen the movie Beautician and the Beast.
I've seen parts of that as well.
It's basically a movie version of The Nanny.
All right, well, that's it. Well, I want to thank my guest, Steph, for being on this short episode. Yes. Thank God. And we'll see everybody here next time on the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
Bye.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. That should help people find this podcast. And no matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much, and I'd like you all to please thank my dear friend, a man that I'll kiss any day on both cheeks, Mr. Dan Aykroyd.
Has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Thanks for the tip.